In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Church selects for us today the passage from John chapter 11, which is the raising of Lazarus from the dead by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you read this story, you can think of many things, you know, that we can learn from this story, or many things we can contemplate. I chose to look at a phrase that was repeated twice by both Mary and Martha. When they came to meet the Lord Christ, they asked him a question that I think many of us can relate to. He says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I'd like to speak about this question or this feeling that sometimes we get, which is, "Lord, have you forgotten me?" Sometimes we ask and we pray to God, "Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Don't you see what I'm going through?" David the psalmist also cried this same thing after he sinned with Bathsheba and his child that was born from her, the Lord took. And then his sons rose up against him, or his son rose up against him. He cried in Psalm 13 or Psalm 12 in the Igbeya, and he said, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Oftentimes we go through life and we have certain circumstances and experiences that make us feel this same way. "Lord, where are you? I've been praying, and I don't hear anything." So, this is what I'd like to speak about today. But before we speak about this question or this feeling of being forgotten by God, I want to mention two truths or two facts. If you notice in this story, who was it that said this, this phrase? It was both Mary and Martha. And both it was said of them that these are the ones that the Lord loved. And as we know from previous accounts, that these were very virtuous women. One of them served, and one of them sat at his feet to listen to him. And this was the house which the Lord felt very comfortable staying. He'd oftentimes go to the house, to their house in Bethany, because he feels rest there. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, this was a nice, you know, comfortable gathering where he can relax. Also, David, the psalmist, also said the same thing when he says, "Lord, how will you forget me forever?" Now, David, of course, is one of the key characters in the Old Testament, the one of which the people of Israel pride themselves in. We are the children and sons of David, and we're looking for a king to come in the likeness of David. David was also the one that Scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart. This was said about nobody else besides David. So if we can ask ourselves, where were they emotionally when they said this? Were they happy, go lucky? Were they joyous? Were they rejoicing? No, but they were troubled. They felt troubled. They felt rejected. They felt lonely. And they felt depressed when they said this. So one thing, the first truth for us to recognize is that there is no person above human pain or suffering. There is no person that's excluded from pain or suffering. I remember when I was a kid, every time I would go to the doctor would always be healthy. And I thought to myself, man, I think I might want to be a doctor or something because they never get sick. Every time I go to the doctor, they're always doing well. But this isn't the case. I married a doctor, so I know I can witness that this isn't the case. And sometimes we feel that certain people are not prone maybe to some pain or tribulations. Even Abuna. We think that, you know, Abuna, because, you know, he's serving God, God takes, you know, complete care of him and nothing will happen to him or anything. But this is not the case. We know many priests that have, you know, their lives have been cut short or they suffer from terminal disease or illness. So nobody is above human pain or suffering. this includes, this is something that came into the world with sin, and this is something we're all subject to. So we shouldn't think that, you know, anybody has immunity regarding this. And this can happen at any time, regardless of whether I am a joyous person or a peaceful person, or whether I am in a particular situation or another. This can happen to anybody at any time. And this is the reality of it. With this joy that we have in Christ, there also is the pain and suffering that might come to us from the world. And this is what Scripture calls as being the cross. We have to carry our cross. If this is something that that God has allowed to be placed on my shoulders, we carry our cross and we continue. You know, sometimes, you know, we experience and we have to deal with things that we had no choice in. We didn't have a choice of who our parents are. And sometimes we have to bear the burden of our parents' choices. We don't have the choice when we're let go or laid off from a job, you know, despite our being faithful to the work. We don't have a choice in that. But this is something that is laid upon us. So sometimes we experience these things in life where we have no choice, but we have to endure. Some people, unfortunately, they preach what's called the prosperity gospel, where all they preach of is if you're with God, nothing but good things will come to you. Blessings and money will rain from heaven upon you. This is good for the person who might be experiencing this. But maybe for the majority of us who have a hardship or difficulty, this might pose a problem. You know, many people run into the issue, people that don't understand Christianity well, they run into the issue of how can a good God allow bad things to happen to his people? So, the first truth is that there is no person above human pain or suffering. And even if you look at Christ's life himself, he is the divine incarnate Logos, Word of God, and he endured suffering and he experienced suffering. So that way when he says, as we say in the Tazbihah, he took what is ours and gave us what is his. When he took what is ours, we can relate. He can relate to that. He can relate to us. Imagine if, you know, a person has never gotten a migraine headache. How many of us have gotten a migraine headache before? Raise your hand. That's it? Just a few people? Okay, so those of you who have not gotten a migraine headache will relate to this. If somebody comes to you and says, this migraine headache is pounding, and I can't open my eyes, turn off all the lights, put me in a closet, and whatnot, we would look at them and be like, you're over-exaggerating, it's just a regular headache, take two Tylenol and call it a day. But for the person who's had this migraine headache, and somebody comes to him and says, I have this migraine headache, turn off all the lights, I can't, you know, right when they say, I have a migraine headache, the person will know what to do. He goes and turns off all the lights, you know, makes the house quiet, because they've experienced the same thing. So when Christ said he took what is ours, he took this pain and suffering that we all share upon himself. So when we cry to him, he knows exactly how we feel. So pain and suffering, it goes, everybody will experience it at one point in their life. The second truth is we can deduce from the question, does God really forget? Does God forget? Of course God can't forget. He created us. How can the person who created us forget us? There's a verse in Isaiah, it's very beautiful. He likens God's remembrance of us to a mother with her nursing child. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. It is very rare for a mother to forget her infant child. She stays day and night, waking up maybe every 2 hours to feed this child. You know, in the rare cases, there are some, you know, people that have certain tribulations or certain mental, you know, disturbances where they will forget maybe a child in a car, or forget a child, you know, to feed them, or forget them, whatever the case is. This is the rare case. But normally, the love of the mother for her infant, will, she'll never forget her infant. So the Lord is saying here, even in the rare cases where the mother might forget her child, I will never forget you. Because I am perfect in my love, in my compassion, in my mercy, and my care for you. So knowing that God loves us, this will reassure us that He will never forget us. So we'll move on to the next point, in which we can ask ourselves, what can make us feel that God has forgotten us? What can make us feel that God has forgotten us? I think the number one thing is that makes us feel that God has forgotten us is entering into a trial and experiencing this unanswered prayer, or feeling like our prayers aren't answered. We're in the midst of this trouble and God is not listening to us. I prayed, but God doesn't answer. And sometimes it makes it a little more difficult when we read in Scripture and we find these righteous men whom they were in the midst of their trouble and God answered them and He responded to them, like the three saintly children and Daniel. But on the other side, we see those of like Job. Yes, God answered to him, and we get to the conclusion of his life in, you know, in just 40 chapters. But we don't realize that this tribulation lasted something like 7 years. So year after year, boil after boil, difficulty after difficulty, day after day, he experienced this difficulty. Sometimes we say, as we're going through this difficulty, you know, I heard that there's this monk in this desert somewhere in Egypt. He performs miracles. So we purchase a ticket, we go, you know, and take the worst conditions to go in the middle of the desert, maybe to see this monk and to have him pray for us, but to no avail. We go to the priest, say, Abuna, give me something, give me a blessing, you know, that God may have mercy upon me. We go to the bishop because Abuna didn't work, and the bishop prays over my head and nothing happened. We go and we pray day and night, tears running down our eyes, and we feel nothing happened. And sometimes even we pray and we feel the difficulty and the hardship gets even greater. So I think oftentimes when we enter through these trials and experience maybe these unanswered prayers, these, you know, lead us to feel forgotten. Job, as we said, experienced the worst thing ever. Like his 10 of his children died in one day. His health was taken from him. All his livestock and his crop and everything burned and was taken from him. He lost everything in one day. And time after time, the first time his wife was like, all right, whatever. Then after that, when his children died, she came and said to him, you know what, this is it. I can't take anymore. So she told him, curse God and die. Just curse God and die. She told him, I can't take it anymore. That's it. The trials have become too hard. And he responded to her in a brave and courageous and faithful way. He says, you know what? You're starting to become like one of these foolish women. These foolish women that love God when everything is good and dandy, but when God permits adversity, we say, curse God and die. He says, you're being a foolish woman. If God, we thanked Him when He has given to us, we should also thank Him when maybe He has taken away. So the first thing that maybe might make us feel being forgotten by God is trials and unanswered prayers. The second is the temptation of doubt. The temptation of doubt. Satan, it says, St. Peter says of Satan that he says to us, says, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So Satan's like a lion seeking his prey. As you can see from the picture, and those of us who watch Discovery, I'm a big fan. Watching Discovery, you watch the little lions hunt. The lions will go in the places where there's high, you know, bushes and things like that, and they'll get down low to the ground so their enemy doesn't see them. And then at the most vulnerable point, he jumps out and he attacks. Satan does the same thing with us. He'll lay low, everything's going good and dandy in our life, and we're happy. Then when one tribulation comes, and you know, I lost my job, and on my way home, I find out that my son is sick or my daughter is sick, and then I go, and then I find out maybe a relative of mine or somebody passed away in Egypt, and one thing after another goes. And he sees that we're weak, then he'll come out and say, "Has God really said he loved you? If he really loved you, would he allow all of this to come to you?" So he starts to poke at you these ideas of doubt. These things sometimes, these temptations of doubt, sometimes makes us feel lonely, or if makes us feel forgotten by God. And he says, it's the same thing he did with Adam and Eve. You know, we read very quickly about, you know, how Eve gave in to his, you know, temptation when she ate the fruit. But I can imagine, you know, as she's in the Garden of Eden, it's like it says that it's in the midst. The garden's in the midst of the garden, so it's in the middle. Every time she walks back and forth, she sees the tree with the beautiful fruit. She walks back and forth. Man, it looks good. If this is how this tastes, I wonder what that tastes like. It must be much, much greater. So, but he, you know, Satan waited for a point where she got pretty close to the tree. This is all my imagination. She imagined, you know, she's coming really close to the tree, and she comes close and takes a sniff. And then he comes out, slithers down the tree, and says, "Take a bite. Has God really said," introduces doubt. "Has God really said such and such? You shall not surely die." So he waited for the opportune time. So sometimes when we're faced with these temptations, and especially and we're, you know, it's one trial after another, and then Satan will come and attack us with this doubt. And sometimes this temptation of doubt makes us feel lonely. "Lord, why didn't you stop him from tempting me? Why didn't you cut off this serpent's head as he was going to tempt Eve?" The third reason why we feel maybe sometimes lonely is our weak faith. If we recall, our Lord was once with his disciples on the sea, and he says, "You know what, I'm going down to the stern, I'm going to take a nap." So he's sleeping, and as he's sleeping, the waves get higher and higher and higher. The disciples are worried about their lives. They start, you know, taking water out of the ship, and he's still sleeping in the stern, sound asleep. The disciples came to him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So he, you know, he's like, "I was fast asleep. Why did you wake me up?" And this is my imagination. So he wakes up, and first thing he does when he wakes up, he rebukes the storm, and the storm calms. Then he turns to the disciples and said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So he rebuked them. Why did he rebuke them? Was this the first miracle that he did with them? No, they saw him feed the 5,000. They saw him heal, you know, the blind. They saw him, you know, raise the dead. They saw him do many things. So he said, "You saw me with all of these great powers. Why are you fearing as long as I am with you? You shouldn't fear." So he rebuked them because of their weak faith. So sometimes when temptation comes, we get weak in faith, and we might say, "Have you forgotten me, Lord?" Then the third reason why we might feel forgotten is misunderstanding God's wisdom. Misunderstanding God's wisdom. God can sometimes withdraw from us for a temporary, he might withdraw for us temporarily for edification to our spirits and our souls and our salvation. God kind of deals with us kind of like babies or his children. You know, when children are first are young, you know, the parents basically, we spoil our children. I remember when we had our son, you know, for the first, like, what, a few months, we're asking, we're telling, you know, the doctor, we're watching all these videos and stuff. We don't want to spoil our kid. We don't want to spoil our kid. Should we feed him every time he cries or make him wait a little bit? You know, so we didn't want to spoil, we were scared to death, you know, for spoiling him. And then one doctor, you know, we wrote something nice in a book. He says, you can't spoil, you know, a young infant for the first 6 months of their life. Give them what they want. Give them the food they want, the nourishment, the love. Let them, you know, be in your bosom at all the, you know, whenever they want. Let them feel secure. So God kind of deals with us the same way. In the beginning of our spiritual life, He gives us many things. He gives us, He shows us His presence. He shows us His love, His tenderness, His forgiveness. He shows us all of these things. And then as we grow and mature, this changes a little bit because He wants us to grow. It's just like, you know, if a mother, out of her great love for her young child, said, I'm not going to let this child step a foot on the ground. If he wants to go, you know, anywhere to play, I will take him and, you know, carry him there. If he wants to go to the restroom, I'm not going to put this child down until he's 8 years old. Assuming that we can carry him until he's 8 years old. So hypothetically though, what would happen after that child turned 8 and put him on the ground? Would they know how to walk? No, because they've never experienced it. They never tried. But what do? We take the child as they grow up a little bit, and then we put them on the ground. And they start squirming, not going anywhere. They work so hard, and they don't get anywhere. And do we say, oh, haram, and we pick them up? No, we probably might laugh because it looks funny, but we let them learn. We let them experience maybe a little bit of hardship, a little bit of difficulty. And as they grow, they begin to get on their knees and start to, what, crawl. Then what do? Once they're of age and have enough strength, we take them and we set them up and put them on the table, right? All of us have done this. We put the kid on the table and he walks around the table with his hands on. And then when he gathers enough courage, he comes off the table a little bit, takes one hand off, and we're there holding our breath. What do? Do we come swoop down and come to the rescue? No, we watch him. Do we know what's going to happen? Absolutely. He's going to let go and he's going to fall right on his tushy, right? But we don't do anything. We let him, because we know this is how he's going to learn how to walk. God does the same thing to us. Sometimes he allows us to go through things because this is, he knows, is the way that we're going to grow in him. So he allows us to experience these hardships and these tribulations because he knows that through them we cry to him more and we get closer to him. It says in Job chapter 5, it says that for he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but he makes whole. So all things are under God's supervision. They take the permission of God. You know, as it says, all things happen to good for those who love God. So for all of us who love God, everything in our life passes through the filter or permission of God. So rest assured, anything that has been placed upon you has been, at least this is by not by our own mistakes and sins, but placed on you by things that we don't, or circumstances that we can't control. Anything that's been placed on us has gone through the filter of God. And sometimes these things are painful. He says, for he bruises, but he binds up. I recall another, you know, another time, or many times actually, our son gets, you know, these respiratory infections often. So one of the treatments that make him feel better is we stick this, you know, this tube up his nose and we suck the snot out for him because he can't, you know, do it himself yet. And this is like torture for him. He hates it. Like with no, he just sees it and he runs the other way. You know, it's like he probably will stay for a shot, but he won't stay for this. So it takes the two of us. So I'm like holding him down, and Tosoni's come and trying to, you know, suck this out of his nose. As I'm holding him as a parent, it's much easier to say, forget it, let's not do it. You know, no, I can't take it. He's crying. But what do? We actually hold him. The Lord wounds, but he heals. He holds, but he knows at the end he's going to feel better. And sure enough, right after we're finished, we say, Joshua, how do you feel? Do you feel better? He's like, yeah, because he can breathe. So God does the same thing with us. Sometimes he bruises so he can heal, and his healing will be greater than the bruising that we experienced. So, misunderstanding God's wisdom. So what do I do, or what to do if I feel forgotten? What should I do if I'm going through this and I feel forgotten? Two things. One is to cry louder to the Lord. Cry louder to the Lord. You know, in the prayer of Holy, 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 we say we have no helper in our hardships and tribulations but you. And this is true. We have no helper in our hearts and tribulations but you. Who else can we go to? Who else will give us rest? Nobody. And who else's power can give us rest? And this is very evident when we go, you know, to the doctor and we say, you know, this is what I'm suffering. He says, there's no cure for it. You just have to, you know, endure it. And then we go and we cry to the Lord. Because we have no helper in our hardships and tribulations but you, O Lord. So when we feel forgotten, cry louder to the Lord. Cry louder to the Lord. We can't go to anybody else besides Him. We have no other helper but Him. The second is to seek external help. Seek help from somebody else. Regardless of spiritual, social, economic status, we all will need someone to support us at one point in our life. We are made a social being. We are created to love. We are created for fellowship. So regardless if we are wealthy and we have enough money, regardless if I am, you know, spiritually up here, regardless if I have a prominent social status, it doesn't matter. All of us need somebody to help us and support us at one point in our life. So when we feel forgotten, go to somebody who is trustworthy, not to the peers. I'm not referring to your peers or your best friend, but somebody who maybe has gone through what you have gone through, who maybe can understand and can empathize with you, to the priest, a spiritual servant. Go to somebody that can give you support and help. And this is the wisdom of Christ when He sent His disciples out. He sent them two by two. So when one gets weak, the other can lift them up. When one is strong, he can lift the other person up. So this is God's wisdom in the church and in the family to lift us up when we are weak, when we feel forgotten. Give us encouragement. So just to review quickly what we spoke about, we said that the two truths before we began to speak about being forgotten by God is that there's no person above human pain or suffering, and God will never forget us. Just as a mother will never forget her nursing infant, neither will God ever forget us. And what can make us feel forgotten by God? We said trials with unanswered prayers. We said temptation, the temptation of doubt. We said the weakness of our faith, and also the misunderstanding of God's wisdom regarding my spiritual growth in life. And lastly, if I feel forgotten, we should cry louder to the Lord and seek external help. May God grant us to always recognize His love for us and to recognize the trials that we face and experience in our life. If we truly love God, they are by His permission and for our edification, to His glory, and to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.